I'm very surprised. Okay. The Minyan Chulin that we were learning yesterday, I'm very surprised that they, for a much less complicated Minyanim than this, Chazal decided that just make it usher because it's too complicated for people.
Where's my Gemara Bamitzia? Anybody see it?
No, but if I find it, it will be with the Mitzia, I'm sure.
Yeah. I meant to put away my Gemara Sanhedrin instead. I put away my Gemara Bav Mitzi.
So what we learned from that is just don't put things away.
Right. So if anyone could close the door, then. So we're on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, and we're going to start with Omale Rav Acha Brei Rav Adal Rav Ashi. Okay, that should be basically where the lines get a little bit wider, second of the wide lines. And he says, Diyuka de Rami Bar Chama Mehecha. He wants to analyze what was the basis in our Mishnah for the conclusion of Rami Bar Chama. Where did he, from whence did he derive logically this conclusion of Magbia Metzila Chaver Kana Chaver? Inem Amiresha, if we go back to Shnayim Ochsim Vitalis. In which case, one of them says, I found. The other one says, I found. And the Mishnah says, Yachlok. And that itself proves, as we discussed yesterday, that might be a mitzila chavera kana chavero, because otherwise, how could they say Yachloku? How could the talis belong to both of them, since each one is picking up the talis on his own behalf, and he's not interested in being Magbia the talis for his friend? So it's as if chetzia, it's as if half the talis is munachas al gavi karka, and no one should be kone. If that's the proof of Rami Bar Chama, we can reject that. Why? Hasam there, in the case of the Mishnah, they're not claiming that they found it together. Haika amar kula shalivani agbata kula, vahai amar kula shalivani agbata kula. Each one is claiming that he made an independent kinyan, a total kinyan, lifting up the talis, and the other one came along and grabbed onto the talis. So therefore, the halach of Yachloku is not based on Magbia Mitzila Chavera, but on the fact that we have two people claiming ownership over an object, each one claiming that he implemented a full-fledged, valid Hagbah, and he was Konam in a Hefke. And even if I were to say that Magbia Metzila Chavera lo kana chavera against Rami Bar Chama, but in this case, since he's claiming that he lifted up the talis by himself, ein adam acher min ashuk, no one from the shuk could now come and grab it from him, because we're not going to say that they grabbed it together, but rather we're going to say that one grabbed it first, the other grabbed it second. We don't know who was the thief, so to speak, and who was the genuine Magbia who really was Kona legally. And that Yachloku is based on the fact that we don't know which one of these two made a Hagbah. Ella, therefore, says Rav Acha, the proof for Rami Bar Chama is rather from the Sefer of the Mishnah. Mehad the Katani, it says, Zeh Omer Kula Shali, Vezeh Omer Kula Shali. And now, Rav Acha makes the following deal. Why did the Mishnah have to add these words? The Mishnah already said that Ani Matzasiya, Vani Matzasiya. Why does it have to say Ani, Kula Shali and Kula Shali? Hasu Lamali. Wouldn't it be enough just to say Ani Matzasiya, Vezeh Omer Ani Matzasiya? And the answer is that this Mishnah Yisera, this extra kfelus, this repetition, unnecessary, superfluous repetition, is coming to teach us another din. And that din is that if they picked it up together, we're still going to apply the principle of Yachloku. Shma Minon, it must be, because Magbia Metzila Chavero, Kona Chavero. So Gemara rejects this. Hokimno, we've already established that we need a double language to take to add to Metzia the case of Mekachumemka. Hokimno, the Gemara at the beginning of the Perek says that the second Bava in the Mishnah, Zelmer Kulishli, is talking about Mekachumemka. The Resha of Animitzasia is B'Metzia. And the Seifa of Ze Omer Kulishali is Mekach Umemkar. And we had a whole complicated case where he sold the same object to two different people. Each one's claiming I was the first one to buy it. And that is all derived from Ani of Ze Omer Kulishali and Ze Omer Kulishali. Ella says the Gemara, from whence did Rami Bar Chama derive his conclusion, Me'as Seifa, meaning the last part of the Mishnah? And the Mishnah establishes that we're going to give half to so and so, and the other half we're going to split between the two Bali Dinim. Hasulamali, this too is superfluous. It's something that we could logically deduce because whenever two people are claiming the same object, we say Yachloku. But what difference does it make if it's a case of Kulishali and Kulishali or a case of Kulishali and Chetzishali? We have an argument to debate over Chetzio. We're going to take that Chetzio. It's a Shnayim Oksim b'Chetzishal Atalis. And we're going to apply the principle of Yachlok. Elami Mishnah Yisera. It must be that the reason why the Mishnah bothered to answer, to add this superfluous case, is to teach Mishma Minah HaMagvir Metzil Chavero, Kana Chavero. You know, you sometimes begin to wonder how Darshinan Kra and Darshinan Mishnah, that just like we add and analyze an extra word in the Torah, we analyze an extra word or an extra section in a Mishnah. And once you have that extra section, you could use it for anything. You know, the sky's the limit. So in this case,
even if it's not related or doesn't have any real mashmaut on the other.
Yeah. I mean, where does it say in the case of Chetzi Shali that we're talking about two people that picked it up simultaneously and it's like Bim and Sil Chavero? So the Gemara rejects this as well. Umimai, how do we know that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Mitzia? And then we're going to derive conclusions about Magbiya Mitzil Chavera Dilma, perhaps, but Mekachu Memkar. The Mishnah in this part is talking about a Mekachu Memkar. No, v'chi tema, even Mekachu Memkar Maila Memer. So you'll ask me, what's the Chiddush in Mekachu Memkar? It's true, I have a great Chiddush. And the Mishnah wants to tell us that each one takes a Shavua. Why? Because if not for the Mishnah Salkadai Techamina, I would have thought, Hai Dekomer Chetzi Shali Lehevi Kameshiv Aveda. In other words, he really didn't have to say chetzishli. He could have said kulishli. By saying kulishli, he really gives him back half the. He gives him half the talis, which is really a quarter of the talis. But in any event, he's giving him back something by his own admission, which he wouldn't have gotten. That's called a meshav aveda.
What is a quarter? It's better for it's a half.
So. Well, not really, because he's going to get a half, he's going to get a quarter in any event. Had he said kulishli, he'd get not only a quarter, but he'd get two quarters. And now by saying chetzishli, he only gets one quarter. You following me?
Okay, yeah.
So in a sense, he's being meshav aveda on a quarter of the talis, but that still makes him a meshav aveda. And all this is leading me, is strengthening a habamina that he shouldn't have to take a shvua, because we have a gemara mesech ksubis that says that meshav aveda is potter from a shvua. And he, it's like migu lefture mishvua. Therefore, when the Mishnah adds this case of chesishli, it's telling me a very important chiddush that komash v'lan, this is not called a migu, and therefore he will have to take the shvua. And you and I would ask, why isn't it called a migu? So the Gemara answers, the high irume koma arim. He works it out in a way that he calculates. When, you know, what kind of claim would be most believable? You know, in what claim will the Dayanim have the most inclination to accept his claim? And he says the following: Sovar, he thinks in his mind, Ia mina kula shali, if I'll claim the entire talis, be'ino lishtabuye, they're not going to really believe me, and therefore they're going to require that I take a shvur to substantiate my claim that kula shali. But Ema, if I say Hachi chetzishali, then the heavy, I will become a meshev aveda v'ipater, and I'll part from Shmua. You know what? I'm willing to give up on another section of the talis if I don't have to take a Shmua. So therefore, he orchestrated it in a deliberate way to offer a claim that would exempt him from a Shmua, but we really don't have a valid migu over here, because the migu itself is motivated by his desire to steal something, to get away with murder. And in this case, he figures it's better for him to claim chetzi shali. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling me gavaldik chiddush. We thought, and this was our first knee-jerk response, that in the case of chetzi shali, he's a meshev aveda, he has a valid migu, he could have claimed kula shali. Kamashma, no. That this is not called a valid, reliable migu, because he's trying to pot himself up from a shmur. So we're still stuck back at square one. Where did Rami Bar Chama find in our Mishnah a proof that Hamagbir Mitzil Chavero, Kona Chavero? The Gemara says, Meha, from the last section of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hayushnayim Rochavin Al Gabi Behema. Each one is claiming the animal is mine, and each one is riding the behema. And the Mishnah says, Yachloku. And once again, we're going to ask the old question, Hasu Lamali, why do we need this extra superfluous case of Shnayim Rokvin Al Shamo? What's the difference between two people holding on to a talis and two people who are riding a donkey? Ella, but rather, the Mishnah is Seirazu, from this extra Mishnah, Shmami Nog, in a darshan, that I'm like, Bia Mitzil Chavero, Kona Chavero. Now, at least in this case, we're talking about a Metziah. Each one is claiming, I made a kinyan on this animal. So the Gemara says, Dilma hakamashvlon de rochev nami kani. That we're not entering into the question of shnayim oksim vitalis, two people grabbing onto a hefker, in this case a hefker animal. But rather, we're entering into the issue of kinyanin. And which kinyan is going to be valid to acquire ownership over an animal. So we have various kinyanim. You have meshicha, you have mesira, you have agbah. So the Gemara says, in the case of an elephant, how do you do agbah an elephant? You make him jump on top of, you know, those four stools, and you achieve agbah. And now we have a new kinyan, which is called rochev. Rochev is not the same as meshicha, because meshicha means that you cause the animal to move. You pull it up. You pull up its reins, and you pull, and you lead the animal. That's true in the case of meshicha, but in the case of rochev, he's riding the animal, or more. Let's say, if we want to be more precise about defining rochev, we could say that rochev means that he's sitting on the animal. He hasn't even gotten the animal to move yet. Is rechiva just jumping on, climbing onto the animal, sitting on his saddle? Is that itself sufficient to create a kinyan? This is not like a case of manhig, where if, let's say, he's riding the animal and he takes a stick and he hits the animal in the behind, or if he kicks the animal with his feet, in such a case, the animal moves, and that makes it into a meshicha. But here, we're not talking about a case of manhig or baraglov, and if the animal hasn't moved an inch, and if the animal didn't move, it didn't budge, then all he has is rechiva, which means that he's sitting on top of the animal. Now, there are two people who are simultaneously sitting on top of the animal, and each one is claiming that he made the kinyan. Well, where is the kinyan? And the answer is that the kinyan is rechiva, that rochev is considered a kinyan. So once again, we drew a blank here. We don't have a part of the Mishnah or above of the Mishnah that was superfluous, without a chiddush that we could use for Rabbi Bar Chama's Magbir Mitzil Chaver.
With rechiva, how can you tell whether it's a kinyan on the whole thing, on half of it, or what? Rechiva is rechiva.
Correct. We're going to have a whole sugya about two people who do a kinyan simultaneously on an animal. Who's kona it? And do we say yachloku? So what we have is two people that are sitting on top of the animal. Each one claims that he got there first. And each one is implementing a kinyan rechiva. Now, I wouldn't have said that rechiva is a kinyan at all, unless he was manig the animal baraglov. But in this case, he wasn't manig the animal baraglov. So there's no Mashicha, there's no Manig here. Why is he Kona? And the answer is that Rechiva is a new Kenyan, and the Gemara is going to try to explain why and how Rechiva is a Kenyan.
How can there be an argument about who got there first, if the guy was first on the horse?
Yeah, but there aren't any Eidim. Like in the case of the palace, if I had Eidim that said that you grabbed it from me after I picked it up, that would be a...
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you see them both sitting. One sitting in front of the other. The one that's in front is going to get there first.
Ah, this I don't know. I mean, you're saying you can't... Maybe it's a big saddle. I don't know. Ella, Sigmar says, mi seifa. The source for Rabbi Bar Chama's conclusion is the seifa. What does it say in the seifa? The Mishnah? Bizman sheheim modin. Strange sentence. I mean, if they're modim, I don't understand. What do you mean they're modim? If they're modim, so hodas bal din. What's to talk about? If they're edim, I don't know why you'd say achloku in the case of edim. B'mat. What's the case? Eva mekachu memkar. It means that they're both modim, that they bought it simultaneously. They came into the mocher. The mocher says, "I'm selling it to both of you." Is tzrichel a meimar? Question mark. This is a rhetorical question. Do we need the Mishnah to tell us that cholkin below shvuah? They both admit to the facts on the ground. There was no argument. So the question is: did the mocher have in mind to be machted to Reuven or to Shimon? Well, shvuah is totally out of place over here because we're not going to be able to figure out. In the case where they were both, where they both simultaneously made the kinyan, and everybody admits to the facts on the ground that the mocher sold it to both of them, shvuah is totally inapplicable. Elolav, it must mean that this mishnah is superfluous, and we're going to use it for the case of Magbiya Mitzila Chavira. Now, at the very beginning of the sugya, Rava was the one who rejected Rabbi Bar Chama. So now the Gemara is going to swing back and ask Rava, "What do you do with this principle called Magbil Tzil Chavero Kana Chavero? If you reject this, then the Mishnah, as we said before, is an extra Mishnah." And the chiddush of the Mishnah is Magbiya Mitzila Chavero Kana Chavero. But Rava was always the disputant, you know, he was the contester who contested this principle of Rami Bar Chama. So Rava Amar Lecha, he's going to explain the Mishnah, meaning this extra Mishnah of Bizmanchi Shei Modim or Yeshlam Edim, that instead of deriving Magbiya Mitzila Chavero Kana Chavero, but rather, it's because huigbia osam gamli atzmo. In other words, if there's a lost object, can I pick it up on behalf of my friend? Rabbi Bar Chama says yes. Rava says no. Rava says the only case, the only scenario in which you can pick up the aveda or the hefker on behalf of someone else is only when we have the migu. Meaning when you're being zocha on your own behalf and at the same time expanding your yad to incorporate even someone else. And that's called migu de zochi de nafshi, zochi nami lechavre. But don't tell me that in a case where you want to pick it up on behalf of someone else and you're excluding yourself, you're not interested in being koneh, that you have the power against the chav lachridi to be zocha in this mitzi on behalf of so-and-so. Now let's get back to Rechiva, and we said that two people are sitting on the saddle of the animal, and we have another case, another scenario where one person is sitting on the saddle, but the other one is leading the animal, and each one is claiming Kula Shali, and the Mishnah applies the principle Yachlok B'Shvua. Each one takes the Shvua She'ein Lo B'Pachos Michetzia. Now let's just analyze, says the Gemara, these kinyanim of Rechiva or Hanhaga. There's the Rochev and there's the Manhig. Amar, Rabbi Yosef, Amali, Rabbi Yehuda. And here we're going to turn to Chesamit Bez. Shamet Mine, the Mar Shmuel, Tarta. I heard two dinim from Shmuel, and both of them were relevant to kinyanim Behema. One is Rachuv, that Rachuv is considered a kinyan. The second thing I heard from Shmuel is Manik. Manik means he's leading the animal. Chad koni v'chad lo koni. Shmuel said in one of these two cases it's a valid kinyan, in the other it's not. V'lo yadana ha'minayu. I don't know how to do the matching here. Which one is a valid kinyan, which one is not?
Is he saying that only because they're both doing it at the same time? Or is he saying that categorically only one of these is a kinyan?
I think categorically.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. You know what? Let's just withhold judgment on your question. Heki Dami. When Shmuel made the statement that Rachuv u'Manig, one is valid as a kinyan and one is not, Elema, perhaps he was talking about a case of Rachuv l'chudei, u'Manig l'chudei. What was the word you used, Yosef? A categorical. Right, he was just asking a categorical question in and of itself. Which of these two kinyanim is valid? And one of them he identified as valid. And the Rochev was not Manig, and the Manig was not Rochev. So the Gemara rejects this. It's impossible to say that that's what Rabbi Yehuda was vacillating about. Why? Because Manig l'chudei mika mandalo kani. How could Rabbi Yehuda have vacillated and he was confused? Which of the two is not valid? If I can prove to you that one of those two is certainly not valid, or the opposite, if I can prove to you that one of those two is certainly valid, then that would solve the whole riddle over here. There would be no need for Rabbi Yehuda to vacillate. And the Gemara says, "Manig l'chudei mi'ika mandi omid lo kani." Nobody questions the validity of manig. That's because the classic kinyan in animals in the Talmud is called meshicha, and this is no different than meshicha. If he's manig and he kicks the animal or he leads the animal, that's called meshicha. And behema nikneis b'meshicha. The Mishnah in Kiddushin on Daf Chaf Hei Amid Beis says that an animal is nikneis b'meshicha. So then, by definition, if manig is definitely a kinyan, nobody could question that, then Rachuv is not a kinyan. And we have no independent source to establish that Rachuv is a kinyan. So again, everything would have had to have been crystal clear to Rabbi Yehuda in a case of Manig l'chudei and Rachuv l'chudei. It would be clear that Rachuv would not be meaningful, but Manig would be meaningful. So the Gemara says, Ela Rachuv b'makom Manig iboile. The suffix of Yehuda was a case where there are two people simultaneously trying to acquire ownership over this animal, and one is a Rachuv and the other is a Manig. Shmuel was addressing the case of two people who come in front of us with an animal. One of them is riding the animal, the other is Manig the animal. Each one is claiming Kula Shali. Each one is claiming Kula Shali. So now let's analyze the suffix of Rabbi Yehuda. Mai, which of these two kinyanim are superior? When you have two people who are simultaneously implementing two different kinyanim, then you have to weigh those kinyanim on the scale of Hilchas Kinyanim and see which one outweighs which. So one side in Rabbi Yehuda was that Rachuv Adif, that if you want to demonstrate your ownership over an animal, the best kinyan would be Rachuv, the toughest leg, because he's actually holding on to the animal. He's got his feet wrapped around the animal, and therefore he has the superior kinyan of Rachuv. Now, there's a very important addition here in Rashi, Dibra Maskel Ella. And Rashi points out that both of these people are in front of us in Beis Din with the Behema. One is Rachuv and the other is Manig. Each one is saying Kula Shali. And Shmuel says that Only one of them is Kohen. And Rav Yehuda vacillates back and forth which one of the two is Kohen. Should we say that Rochuv is Adit because Tof is Lay? Or shall we say that Manig is Adit because Azla Machmas Say? So Rashi says the following. What was the Svara to weigh in on behalf of Rochuv? What would make Rochuv a superior Kenyan? So Rashi says that the reason for that is he's a tofes es habehema. He's grabbing onto the animal. Now what does that mean, he is grabbing onto the animal? After all, the other person is the manik. And he's the one who's causing the animal to move, and in a specific deliberate direction. So what's the adifus here of the rochuv? And the answer is, the Gemara's answer is tofus. He has a tfisa on the animal. Oh. So apparently, says Rashi, that if one person has a tfisa on the animal, then the other person could not be considered a manhig. Now let's just see if we can figure out what Rashi means over here. Since one person is considered tofus, that's a rochuv, the Gemara Svara on this side is that the manig is not considered a manig. Ah. In other words, the animal can be viewed under two dimensions. I mean, it's an intelligent animal, but you could also look at the animal as its goof, its inner value on the market as a body. Now, if you're analyzing Hilchas Kinyanim from the perspective of the Guf HaBehema, so that the Manig is not inferior to the Rochuv. But if you're looking not at the physical Guf of the animal, rather the movement of the animal, control over the animal, so from that perspective, you cannot call a Manig control over the animal because somebody is riding the animal. It's basically, if Reuven is Rochuv and now Shimon comes along and he's manig, Shimon is really being manig the animal together with its rider, which is Reuven. So certainly from the perspective of who really is in control here, you would have to assume that the Rochuv is in control. And even if the manig sets the animal going, but this animal is carrying Reuven, he's carrying this baldin who's a rochuv. O Dilma, manig adif. The Ravid, who's quoted here in my footnote, he wants to know, why did the Gemara initially think that manig was adif? Mi rochuv. That was the way we understood the Gemara up until this point. Now all of a sudden the Gemara has a tzad to say that rochuv is adif. So the Ravid explains, Shelo haya la Gemara tzad shemanig eino moil klal. It was impossible to assume that if he was manig alone and there was no other interference, that he would not be kona. For sure he'd be kona through manig. The suffix was, Ha'im gam rochuv moil v'achloku. So this is a major breakthrough of the Ravid. The Ravid says that when it says rochuv aduf, it means that he deserves to get half. It doesn't mean that rochuv is so aduf that we undermine the position of the manin. So if we're going to assume that rochuv aduf means that it's also meaningful and valid in addition to the kinyan of manig, then we're going to apply the principle of yachlok. Oh, the other possibility, dilma manig adif, means that manig itself and only manig is meaningful as a kinyan. Again, the Rishonim were asking, doesn't it seem that from the beginning of the sugya, manig was certainly a kinyan? So all of a sudden, manig gets, you know, depreciated, it gets downgraded to a lower level. What happened over here? So the Ravid says, Nein, we're misunderstanding the Gemara. The Gemara always knew that manig is meaningful. The Gemara just doesn't understand whether manig is meaningful to the exclusion of the rachuv. Or shall we say that manig is meaningful in addition to the rachuv, and therefore we should say achlok. Then he quotes the Ramban. The Ramban says that kasher anidon eze kinyan moil kishu b'fnei atzmo poshet shemanig hu meshicha gemura v'yodif. In a case where there are two independent maisa kinyan, then certainly manig is superior because it's a real classic meshicha, and it's more powerful, if you will, than rochav. Rochav is not called meshicha because he doesn't cause the animal to move, but in the case of manig, he causes the animal to move, and that makes it equal to meshicha, which we know from the Mishnah in Kiddushin is valid in the case of karkos. I'm sorry, did I say karkos? I meant to say behema. Sorry. He says the following: Hasafeku ha'im gam rochuv moil viachloku or rak manig moil. That was the first understanding of the Rambam, and the Ramban adds that no, that the nidon is which kinyan should be meaningful bifnei atzmo, and in that context it was poshut to the Gemara that manig is considered a meshicha gemura, and it certainly is superior to rochuv. But now the Gemara is saying that rochuv levado moil. The Gemara says that rochuv in and of itself would certainly be meaningful, and now it's possible that kisheshneim oksim, and what is rochuv? Rochuv is adif on manig. So again, when the Gemara was analyzing these two kinyanim independently, it was clear to the Gemara that manig is adif, is superior to rochuv because manig is meshicha. But now the Gemara backtracks and says that, okay, rochuv itself is meaningful. I'm not going to question that, even though again manig is more meaningful, is more simple. But what happens in a case of a rochuv together with a manig? Perhaps rochuv is not up to par to generate a halach of yachloku in the face of a manig, where there's a manig. So even if I assume that manig is adif to rochuv, which means that if we have these two kinyonim independent, not in an overlap situation, but independent, then certainly, insofar as manig is meshicha, certainly it would be on its own a greater and more profound kinyan, because you cause the animal to move. But now the Gemara wants to know, okay, let's conclude that rochuv is also a kinyan. What happens when we have both rochuv and manig simultaneously? Is it possible that in that case rochuv is superior to manig? So again, if you're comparing rochuv to manig independently, certainly manig is superior to rochuv, it's meshicha. But if you're comparing them together, which means that Reuven is being manig the animal and Shimon is rochuv on the animal, then there's a svara to say that Shimon has the superior kinyan even though he's only rochuv, because he's actually possessing the animal. Now he quotes the Ritzbash from the Shita Mekubetzos. Birochuv levado, which means that the animal is stationary, mistaber shemanig kone. Why? Because he, the animal, holeches machmaso. Aval birochuv b'machol manig v'abehema holeches nire shabehema holeches machmas harochuv. Interesting, that normally we would assume that if the animal is moving, let me go over this one more time, berachuv, if the animal, I'm sorry, let's start it this way. If all you have is rachuv, then the animal is not going to move. And if that be the case, then certainly manig is going to trump rochuv. And therefore the Gemara always assumed that certainly Manig would be a kinyan, because it causes the animal to move. In the case of Rachuv, maybe it's not a kinyan because it doesn't cause the animal to move. But in a case where one is Rachuv and one is Manig, right, that's Haman and Mordechai Lavdil, right? One is Rachuv and one is Manig, then in that case the animal's movement could be attributed to the Rachuv. Interesting. We just finished saying that Rachuv in and of itself, according to the Gemara's Hamina, would not be a kinyan because the animal's not moving, the animal's stationary. But now we're saying that in a case where the animal's moving, it could be that the Rachuv, the Rechiva, is what's causing the movement of the animal. Even though you need the Manig, who's doing whatever he's doing, but that's only like a Makam and Patash. He says, V'od yesh Maila, and there's another advantage to Rachuv, Shehu Tafus, because he has the animal under his hands, under his feet, under his control. Lachen, Vayetzad Shehu Adif Al Hamani. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Li Rav Yehuda. Nechse Anan. Let's see if we can analyze and be poshet the suffix of this sugya of Rachuv and Manig. And it's interesting because it was Rav Yosef himself who heard from Shmuel that in a case of Rachuv and Manig, Chad Kani v'Chad Lo Kani. Well, so now Rav Yosef comes back and he says, Omali Rav Yehuda. In other words, I didn't necessarily understand Shmuel properly, but I went back to Rabbi Yehuda and I asked Rabbi Yehuda for some clarification, and his response was Nechse Anan. Let's analyze this in light of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Kelayim, where you are chayav for causing the animal to plow the field that has in it both Zesim and Chitim. So Disnan, we learned in the Mishnah in Kilayim, Hamanig Sofeg Esar Bon. So what does it mean? Are you plowing a field with two animals, a Shor and a Chamor Yachtov, which is a violation of the Issur Kilayim? Do you get Malkus? And the answer is, if you are Manig these two animals, then you're considered to have worked the animal. And you're considered to have done the Harisha with these animals. However, Hayoshev Bekoron, let's say a person is sitting in a wagon, and this wagon is tied up to a bull, to a chamar, or a shar, and now the shar and the chamar are going to carry this animal over the field, over the surface of the field, and the metal bars of the agala are going to dig into the ground and make furrows, and that would be Harisha Bishar V'Chamor Yachtov. And again, Sofik is Arbon. In this case as well, the Shar and the Chamor are working together, and you are responsible for that, and you will therefore be getting Malkus for violating the Issur Kilayim Behem. Now we have to add one point over here. How is it that if a person is Yoshev Bikaron, he's going to get Malkus for violating Kilayim? I mean, all he's doing is sitting in the wagon. He is not causing the animal to plow the field. So the answer has to be that there are two ways of getting the animal moving, and in this case two animals moving, a shor and a chamor. One is by aggressively activating the animals, in which case you implement some sort of a maisa hanhaga to be madig the animal. But there's another possibility, and that's called Yoshev Bekaron. Why? Because Etzem Har Yeshiva Bekaron is Hashor V'Achamor Margishim B'Yeshivas Karon, and Yeshivas Ogoremes Sheyelchu. I'm not sure. I think this is something similar. I don't want to equate it to kinetic energy, if you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about? When you put a certain pressure on something, then it has a what's the word? A repercussion, a something effect, a domino effect of something. So when you shake up this agalah by sitting on it, your weight causes the animals to all of a sudden feel that things are moving, and they start moving and carrying the agalah. It's almost like a natural response of the animals.
Action and reaction.
And as a result, he's going to get malchus for causing the animals to work the field, plow the field, and the field will, and that's called kelayim because he's got shor v'chamor yachdav. Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir says, poter es hayoshev bekarav. He doesn't believe that this is called manhig. Just because you sat on the agalah and the animals started moving, that's not called manhig. Manhig means when you do an action that's directly causing the animals to move. You know, the fact that you sat on the agalah and they feel the tizuzah, you know, the movement of the agalah, that is already an indirect cause of their working in the field, of their harisha. So that's why, according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Meir, is Yosef Bekaron is not considered to have violated the Iser of Lotakros B'Shor V'Chamor Yachta. Now what happens? Shmuel comes along and he says, Hepuch. Shmuel changes around the Shitos. So what we have in our Mishnah as Chachamim is really Rabbi Meir and vice versa. But let's see. Me the apit Shmuel Vitani Vechachamim Potrim Es Hayoshev Bekaron. So if Shmuel is of the opinion that Epoch, that it's the Chachamim who say that you're Potur, not the way we have it, that the Tanakhama says you get Malkus, if Shmuel holds that we pass in like the Chachamim, and therefore, Alocha, Yosef Bekaron didn't do anything. Nothing changed. Ishma Minoah, we should learn from this that Shmuel Shita is that Rachuv Luchudei Lo Kanin. That Rachuv is not considered Kinyan because it doesn't cause the animal to move. Just one second. So again, according to the Chachamim, in the case of Yosef Bekaron, so that's Potur. Now Shmuel is going to accept the Shita Chachamim because we paskin like the Chachamim, and therefore, Rachuv Lechudei, which is called Hayoshev Bekaron, is Lo Kani. So
Hayoshev Bekaron is different than a Rokev because a Rokev is sitting on the behema, and the Hayoshev Bekaron is sitting in some sort of a contraption that is. Not has no contact with the he has no contact with the animal. The thing that he's sitting in has contact.
So you mean it's like one step removed? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
So again, the Gemara's language before we get to your question, Yosef, is Rachuv Lechudei Lo Kani. So you're asking the following question: that what do you mean Rachuv Lechudei Lo Kani? In the case of Yosef Bekaron, it's really the weight that moves the karon and wakes up the animals, and they start moving. Rachuv, though, it's your what?
It could be the same thing with Rachuv, that it's his weight on the animal that the animal senses and says, "Oh, time to go."
Right, but maybe the weight of a person, you know, it's my weight is considered my action. Like, for example, again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but in the issue of elevators on Shabbos and. So it could be that if my weight gets the elevator working, that's considered as if I activated the elevator. But if I were, let's say, to sit on something in the elevator that has weight, and that thing shakes up the elevator and it starts moving, or it works a little bit overtime, that's the case of Yosef Bekaron. Maybe that's a little bit more far removed. But in any event, that kasha is an excellent kasha. I'm not sure if he's going to address that kasha in Tosus, but The Gemara adds another point. If a kolshkein rachuv b'machol manhig, in other words, if rachuv in and of itself is not a kinyan, because now through the epoch we're passing like the chachamim potrim es hayoshev b'koron, then how much more so rachuv b'machol manhig, when there is a manhig, for sure that's not going to be a kinyan. And this is where Rabbi Yehuda comes to a final conclusion to be machria the suffek in understanding Shmuel. Okay, if anybody have a pencil here by chance? I just want to make a note of where we got to.